This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go, Hour 3, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We have some Cowboys draft talk here with you, an NFL draft big board report. We'll take a look at offensive players that the staff of the Morning News feels like there's a good chance the Cowboys could take in the draft, which is next Thursday night. Matter of fact, we are now right around the corner, and of course, our fan parties are going to be at Pluckers once again. We'll be at all eight Pluckers locations partying with you on opening night of the draft. And our Path to the Draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers and our friends at Zero Res as well. While we're promoting, tomorrow is National Crawfish Day, and we're going to be at Shell Shack, winner of Best Seafood Destination 8 years in a row by the Dallas Observer. So that's going to be an enchanted afternoon. Come join us for some crabs and some crawfish, some this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
You know you love it. Okay, before we get to these players, Stephen Jones was on the Fan earlier with the KMC Masterpiece, and they were talking All In again. And he said, we spend max money year in, year out. All 32 can only spend the same amount of money over a five-year stretch. When we're all said and done, we max out our cap every year. We will have done that. What comes with having a good roster, which we do, we're also looking towards signing our own guys. Mm-hmm. And he says, it doesn't mean it happens overnight, but when you're wanting to sign players like Dak and Mike and CeeDee, then you have to hold money back if you want a realistic chance of signing those guys. What do you think about that explanation?
I just think it's, you see what the Eagles are doing right now. They have top five paid players at all of the positions. I mean, part of the reason why they've hurt themselves is because they wait so long on a lot of these deals, and then these guys are getting big time bag. And that's what you've done with Dak Prescott. And so, I think there is, if they wanted to, just because they have a certain amount of cash they don't want to spend more than. And they're right there towards the brink of it in terms of actual cash spending. They don't want to get over probably $200 million in cash spending. And so they're sitting there at like $183 right now, and they're like, we can't afford to do anything because this is where we at from a cash standpoint, even though the salary cap can always be finagled. If you have any desire to do it, you can always do it. No matter how bad things get, you can still kick the can again. You can keep kicking it. They have no desire to do that. And then they're looking at their cash spending, and they're like, we are putting a self-imposed $200 million budget on ourselves. And so we're right there at the brink of it. If we want to keep these big name guys, then we can't spend anything else. We can't even afford you Tyron Smith at a small guaranteed amount that the Jets just gave you.
Yeah, that's my biggest problem with what they're doing is the thing with the Jets and with Tyron Smith. That's the one I think I would have tried to get done, because say you get Tyron Smith back and you work with him and then you got him playing left tackle. I know it's 13 games, but it's still probably going to be a pretty high level. You've created a pretty big hole over there at left tackle, unless their intent is to move Tyler Smith over there, and we don't know if that's exactly going to be the case. If you somehow had signed Tyron Smith back, then really all you had to really address is the center spot. And then that way, I think I would feel a lot better. I don't have a problem with the guys they've let go. I really don't.
Tyron?
Yeah, Tyron's the one that bothers me the most because I feel
it
like
wasn't it wasn't even a lot of money.
Yeah, but to me, it's like, could there have been something differently done? I think the fact that they went on a per-game basis, if they do the per-game basis right now and they didn't do it last year, maybe you have Tyron here. Yeah. But the fact that he already went through that one time. And
well, the Jets ended up doing a similar incentive deal. It was so low of money. Wow, that's what crazy. The Cowboys couldn't do.
Yeah.
And when they did that, that's when I said, you're not going to win the Super Bowl this year because the only way you could win it was Tyron playing at an all-pro level and drafting a rookie center who could play at a Pro Bowl level. Now you might have a good enough running game to go win it. I just think, they're too strict with their own self rules. But tell me more about this cash cap. Chief, they don't spend over $200 million in any offseason. Is that how they're
just their yearly cash spending? I saw it was a great thread. It was probably a couple of weeks ago now from our buddy Joey Ikes, and it went really like super viral. It caught on. It was right after they had just reported how they, like Jerry just put in $100 million to whatever oil company,
Blackstone or whatever that the company is.
And everybody's like, man, why are you spending, so you're willing to spend money on that. You're not willing to spend it on your own team. You're seeing it again with the Arkansas stuff. He's willing to throw down to make sure John Calipari's there. But you're not spending for your own team. And it's like, yeah, because the he's going to see tangible dollar return on that $100 million with the oil that he put in.
Yeah.
What's the business? Like now he's at the point, he's running the business. He's running the Cowboys like a business. And so there's financial caps that you're going to put on yourself because you're trying to make money on this. The Cowboys aren't what is really making him all the money. That money is what it is. The contract, the TV contracts, what the league is getting and all that stuff. Like it doesn't, the product on the field is not him paying an extra $20 million, $30 million in cash for his roster is not actually putting dollars back into his pocket.
Yeah.
Those dollars are already going to happen if his team sucks or doesn't. Hmm. But he knows that he's going to get the return on investment when he puts $100 million in cash right now into an oil company. That is actually going to come back and be more dollars in his pocket.
Or he could lose money on that, right? I mean, the thought about business, he's invested a ton of money in this company already, buying a bunch of stocks and stuff like that, and evidently he believes in it. I don't know what his return on that spin.
There's at least potential of giant financial return. When you invest in your roster, that is not the case. Unless you have a huge desire to actually win. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden you could say, okay, now these dollars are going towards something. But they're at $183 million cash, and that is not anywhere close. And you can look at the cap and be like, well, they're close there. Yes, but how much cash spending are they actually doing? And Tom Downey also put some stuff out. I'm pulling it up right now to see exactly where they rank, but they're towards the bottom of the league in actual cash spending. And Joey Ike's theory is they have a $200 million threshold they're not willing to go over because that's what it's been for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
From 2021 to now, they have not been willing to go past $200 million spending. Other teams like the Eagles are going much more than that because they're willing to come out of pocket for it.
You know, I think it's a way of managing the cap year to year to create a consistent winning team, but not great team. I think you look at it like, okay, if it's 200 a year, that means we can spend $1 billion over 5 years. Two of those years, we should spend 350 or 400. And then the other years we should spend zero. Those are the years we're planning on having a top 10 pick and not making the playoffs. But when it's time to make the playoffs, we supplement what we were able to draft and build and save from the previous year and then drop the hammer on the winning roster with like $400 million. That's what Tampa did. That's what the Rams have done. You know, that's, you know, you ride that roller coaster up and down. If you plug away consistently, it's going to create higher lows, but also lower highs. And that's what they've done for themselves.
Yeah.
Create a slim channel between 9 and 12 wins with no real chance of winning the Super Bowl or, you know, being a horrible team for multiple years in a row. If they're bad, it's usually only because they had bad injury luck. That's the only thing that's going to make them horrible. And I think their main goal is to stay relevant for TV ratings, you know, and they are accomplishing that. Built as a business.
Tom Downey, this was on March 7th. The Dallas Cowboys spent the third fewest amount of actual cash over the last three seasons.
Okay.
The only two teams behind them are the Packers and Saints, and both of those teams had large quarterback dead cap hits in that time frame.
All righty. So that's a look at the cap management team perspective and how Stephen Jones answered that question this morning with us. With the KMC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan. You can go back and listen to all of that interview if you'd like with the Odyssey app, Twitch, YouTube, 105throughthefan.com, instant rewind functionality, on-demand playlist. Morning news here, their panel, Watkins, Moore, Gelkin. They did a story here today, Cowboys draft targets, which offensive players could Dallas have eyes on? And you know how they work their sources and look at the meetings and the visits and all that. Your quarterbacks, Carter Bradley, South Alabama. Caden Slovis, BYU. Devin Leary, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Could either of these guys be something, Brian, or are you bottom fishing on day three?
Well, that's all clearly the one that makes the most sense if you really want to talk about the guy that could actually feel like could play is Leary from Kentucky. He's a transfer from North Carolina State. He hasn't made a ton of starts in his career, and he's not the tallest guy. He's a 6'1", 215-pound guy, but he's a guy that doesn't play panicked and he doesn't play stressed. And there's some accuracy to the way he plays. His size might turn a lot of scouts off. He's got comparisons to a Jimmy Garoppolo, the type of player that he is. Played really well in the Shrine game out here at the Star. So he could be a guy, if out of those three guys, I think that's the guy that I would like to take a look at. If you said, okay, you get a choice, you could pick one of these guys, Leary from Kentucky would be the guy that I would look at.
If these guys are talking about it, that was the lead section of the story. Yeah. I feel like maybe there is a chance the Cowboys draft quarterback, but that would still be a surprise to me considering Dak and Lance and Rush on
the roster. Yeah, I think it would be a surprise. I think they're just trying to kind of cover all the positions here.
Make sure that one doesn't slip through the cracks. Yeah. It could be the next Tommy.
There you go.
Hey, running back, dude, they got eight guys on this list.
They're hunting a running back. They're clearly hunting a running back here.
I mean, you've talked about most of these guys already, but Brooks, Allen, Irving, Benson. We've heard you and Zach talk about those guys a lot. Tyrone Tracy, Purdue.
Yeah, interesting guy because he is a transfer from Iowa, and he was a wide receiver at Iowa that they've made a running back. This could be somewhat of what you had with Tony Pollard.
Ooh.
This could be like this fourth, fifth round pick if you didn't take a back early. Tyrone Tracy from Purdue is a guy that catches the ball really, really well. He's a tough guy with the ball in his hands. He's 5'11". He's 209 pounds. You know, you have to kind of draft this guy and figure things out, but I would compare him to how a Tony Pollard is as a player.
40-inch vertical jump, 4.48 40, explosive athlete.
Yeah.
Jace McClellan, Bama. Rasheen Ali Marshall.
Yeah.
Amani Bailey, TCU. Would you like either of those three gentlemen?
Yeah, the Ali one from Marshall makes the absolute. He's one of those guys to me. When you watch him, he's got the toughness. He's got the ability to run between the tackles. He's got the speed to get to the outside. You're probably looking at a fifth, sixth round guy right there. These are guys that were talking about Dallas Day and also 30 visit guys as well.
There you go. Yeah, I'm one of my concerns is that they're going to just try and make sure like they're going to overdo it with their need for the running back and try and get one of these guys in the second round when you just don't need to do that.
If you're going to do that, you know, if you want the best chance to hit would be Brooks from Texas or Benson from Florida State. Other than that, man, you're just it's going to be, you know, there's some faults and some warts for all these guys coming up. The Lloyd from USC is a guy that I would love to have in the third round if you're going that route.
They have three tight ends here. Are the Cowboys looking for another one? You have Barner from Michigan, Spanford, Minnesota, and Iowa.
Yeah.
Eric All?
All is his name. If you had to give me the choice of the tight end that I would take out of that group, give me the Jarrett Wiley from TCU will probably go a lot higher on some people's boards. He might even be the second tight end taken in the draft, you know, but I think the thing with Eric All is he's a transfer from Michigan. He's super productive. He's 6'4", he's 252. He's got versatility to his game. He plays like an athlete. There's burst, there's quickness off the line. He's a physical player, he's a run blocker. He could be a threat at all depths of the routes, short, medium, and then down the field. So there might be some question about his separation, but I didn't see that as a huge problem. Eric All from Iowa catches the ball really well.
Think he could help the running game?
He can, I think, because of the fact that the physicality which he
big
plays
kid.
With. At 6'4", 252. You know, as a run blocker, like I say, he gets into his guy, and he can get it some movement when necessary. Iowa's done a pretty good job over the years with their tight ends and their ability to run the football.
Day three guy. Nice. I don't want to see another day two tight end after last year. I feel like you have other needs, unless he's just an absolute freight train and going to help you block and all that. Now, offensive line, they list 11 guys.
Yeah.
How many different offensive linemen have they had in? I mean, we'll go through some of the names. Two TCU guys with Coker and Patrick.
Those could be Dallas Day guys right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Giovanni Manu, University of British Columbia.
Okay, here's an interesting cat. Now, this is a guy we all had to scramble and get tape on. He's in that 6'4", 6'5", 328-pound range, and he is a superior athlete at that size. He's very much like your left tackle that plays with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mailata.
Mailata. He is that maybe a little even better a type of an athlete, foot athlete. British Columbia has two offensive linemen, left tackle, right tackle. I think Manu, the left tackle, is one that – I think both of them are going to hear their name draft night. But if I had a choice between the two, I would take the left tackle, Manu, just for his size, his athletic ability, plays in a two-point stance. You got to understand, though, in that Canadian college program, he's playing against much smaller guys. He does dominate at every level. I wish he would have had an opportunity to maybe play some, like at the Senior Bowl or some of the other All-Star games, but didn't get that to happen. But he is a hell of a player when you start talking about a guy that size.
What is that equivalent to, that Canadian college ball?
That would be like almost D3. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how much you guys have watched CFL football, where there's 12 guys and they attack the line of scrimmage. It's a lot of movement going on and stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of throwing the ball. But when they do hand it off, he's blocking guys that he's probably well over 50, 60 pounds bigger than.
Right on. There you have it. Dallas Cowboys NFL Draft Big Board Report. Our path to the draft continues. Brought to you by Pluckers. Join us at all the Pluckers locations coming up on draft night for an amazing time had by all. I believe Lucius and I are going to be at the Arlington location. That's
yes.
Next Thursday night. Where are you going to be, Chief?
I'll be in Grapevine.
Right on.
Ready to tear it up. Game.
You can get our full schedule on our socials and online. Woolchuck's top 10's coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Well, we might get a little Dallas Maverick conversation going here with Derek Jones Jr. And I also have a top 10 list of the day. Yesterday was National Laundry Day. What are the top 10 most hated house chores next in the nation?